Okay, now we're looking at Romans chapter 10. We'll pick up where we left off last week. Romans 10, verse 4. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes him, that rests in him. That word end has a reference to the purpose and goal of the law, is to drive us to the Lord Jesus Christ for all of salvation, for all of righteousness, that being justified in him by his grace, we rest in him by God-given faith. It was never the intention of the law of God. It was never given to save us, but rather given to convict us of our sin and drive us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now hold your place there in Romans 10. Remember back in Romans chapter 7. Turn over there. Verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, the commandment holy, just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. The only way we know the exceeding sinfulness of our sin is by the holy law of God convicting us and exposing that unto us. And that drives us to Holy Spirit conviction, which drives us to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for all of salvation. Now, if you want to turn to one more reference on that, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. Galatians 3:23. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified, not by the law, justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. No longer under the schoolmaster. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, if you want to put a marker there in Galatians 3, we're going to turn back there in just a minute. Galatians chapter 3. So hold your marker there and then turn back to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. In these next verses here, from verse 5 down through verse 10, Paul, being directed by God the Holy Spirit and given instruction and words by inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, makes a sharp contrast between the righteousness of the law and the righteousness of faith revealed in the gospel. Look at verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness of the law. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Now there's a contrast here. The righteousness of the law and then the righteousness revealed in the gospel. Now what does the law of God require? What would we have to do by the standard of the law to be righteous before God? Absolute perfection. The law of God demands perfection or death. It demands perfect obedience in every thought, every motive, every attitude, every deed, all the time and in every way. Now the only person who met that standard of the law was our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we cannot meet that standard of the law. Now if you hold your place there and then turn back to Galatians 3. And here's what the law of God says. Galatians 3 verse 10. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to Just didn't say to read them or admire them or to observe them, but to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. The just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. The man that does the law. If you can obey the law perfectly, you can work out a righteousness before God that will be acceptable unto God. Now, a lot of people are deceived in this manner, in this matter of righteousness by the law and righteousness by their obedience. You remember, don't turn, let me just read this to you. In Luke chapter 10, remember from our study, the lawyer that stood up and tempted the master and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord said, "Well, what's written in the law? How do you read the law?" And he answered, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And the Lord said to that man, "Well, you've answered right. This do and live." Now, could that man do that? Could he obey that? If righteousness comes by the law, Christ is dead in vain. If we can get it done by the deeds of the law, no need for the Lord Jesus to come. Now, notice in verse 5 that reference that's given there is from the man that which doeth those things shall live by them. And that reference there is Leviticus 18:5. And let me just read that to you. "You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, you can live." You can live. You can have life, eternal life, by doing the law. I am the Lord. But there's a big problem with that. A sinner, guilty and vile and wretched as we are, can never obey the law of God. Not personally, not you, not me, not any man. Not any man. A lot of people are so deceived. They think they take that sign and they stick that sign in their yard or put it in their business, stick it on the wall, and they have that the Big Ten. And they say, "I'm living by the Big Ten." Well, the problem with that is you've just put yourself under the curse of the law. Because the law says, do everything perfectly. Thank God for the gospel of Christ, for the righteousness which is of faith. That's our second point, verse 6 and 7. But the righteousness which is of faith, the righteousness which is of God, which is of Christ, says this, speaketh on this wise, this case, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Parentheses, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or, who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. Does it really depend upon you to bring the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven to earth? Or does it depend upon you to raise the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ out of the ground? No, it depends upon Him and Him alone. The righteousness which is of faith says, and that's the righteousness that's revealed in the gospel, that is resting in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is all of our righteousness before God. You remember back in Romans 9, verse 30, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained unto righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Now, I can ask this question, which righteousness do you have? A righteousness that is of the law? Or the righteousness which is of faith? And that righteousness that is revealed in Christ, who is called the Lord, our righteousness. Now, it's interesting in these verses here that Paul quotes the law to show us that the message of the law is Christ. The reference there is to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 10. down through verse 14. But the law is given of God to point us to Christ. Every blood sacrifice under the law says salvation through a substitute, Jesus Christ. Every priest that went in officiating as a representative man for those people, Israel, every priest, every sacrifice, all those things point us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our sacrifice, who is our great high priest. You remember the Lord said to those Jews, "You are they which search the scriptures, but they are they which testify of me." And we're talking about Old Testament scripture. And then our Lord said, "Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, because Moses wrote about me," the Lord said. He wrote about me. And then Peter, when he's preaching to Cornelius in his house, recorded in Acts chapter 10, he said to him, "Give all the prophets witness." That is, all the prophets, beginning with Moses in Genesis, all the way through Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the prophets, they all tell us and bear witness to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're reading along, and most of you have the commentary by Brother Mahan from the book of Romans, and I copy and pasted a quote that he has from verses 6 and 7 from an old preacher by the name of John Brown. Now, I'm not real familiar with his writings, but Brother Mahan included it in his commentary, and he said this is the best that he's read, and he's read all of them. But here's what John Brown said on these verses, where it says, "Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead?" And again, he's quoting here Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 10 through verse 14. Now, here's what John Brown said, quote, "Do not think that divine justice depends upon something to be done by you or anyone else. No need to say who shall ascend into heaven, to heaven to bring the Messiah down. He's already come. He's already performed the work, finished the work which he came to do. He has finished our righteousness and our redemption." The Lord said, "It is done. It's finished." Quoting John Brown still, "There is no need to say who shall descend into the deep to bring up him from the grave. He's already risen, delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. He is risen for our justification, intercedes for us. The gospel which reveals it tells you that they are all finished. The all-sufficient Savior is to be believed and received by faith, not by works." And that's the end of John Brown's quote, and I thought it would be a good thing to include that in it. Now, take a look at Romans 10 now, verse 8. But what does it say? What does the righteousness which of faith, what does it say? Verse 8, what saith it? The Word. The Word. Now, whenever I think of the Word, I always think of it in a twofold sense. We have the written Word, don't we? But we also have the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called the Word. The Word, capital W-O-R-D. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But what saith the righteousness which is of faith? The Word, written and living, is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. The Word is nigh thee. Christ in you is the hope of glory. The Word of God lives in our heart. And because it does, we preach the Word of faith, or we testify of Christ being the Word, being the object of faith. The message of the gospel we preach is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word is at hand, nigh thee. That is the Word we preach. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servant for his sake. We preach not ourselves, we preach the Word. We preach, thus saith the Lord. And that's the charge that we have, as Paul charged Timothy, I charge ye before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom, to preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, always preaching the word. What's the occasion when we should preach the word? Every time we have an opportunity to do so. Every time we preach the word. And then he says we preach the word of faith. The word of faith. That is, how is salvation received? Now we know that faith does not accomplish salvation, does it? Faith does not accomplish salvation. Faith receives the Lord Jesus Christ, who did accomplish salvation. Now this faith, where does it come from? Faith is a gift of God. We're going to see, turn one page over here in Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. By the power of God. We hear Christ in the message. And we preach, that is the word of faith, which is nigh thee. We preach the word of God. We preach the word of faith. We preach Christ and him crucified. That's our message. That's our message. Not what you must do. What Christ has done for us. Salvation does not depend upon you. It's not D-O-N-E. It's D-O-N-E rather. Done, not do. D-O. It's done. Done. We preach not ourselves, but Christ. We preach Christ and him crucified. It's a done thing. The Lord Jesus Christ accomplished salvation for us. Now, this is all you need to hear. This is all you need to hear. Well, preacher, isn't there something else we need to hear? No. No. We don't need to preach social skills or financial skills or any of these other maladies of society and these different things. We're not trying to put the bootlegger out of business or the pornographer out of business. That's not our mission. That's not our goal. We're to go and preach the gospel of Christ. This is all you need to hear, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all you need to believe, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all you need to know. Do you need to know anything else? Nope. You see, every doctrine that we learn comes from Christ. When we talk about election, he is the elect. When we talk about the atonement, he is the atonement. When we talk about the effectual call, he is the one who calls us. When we talk about perseverance of the saints, he's the one who preserves us by his grace. Christ is all we need to hear, all we need to believe, and all we need to know. As Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now, someone put it this way. When it comes to preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else but Christ and him crucified. There was a man that attended this ministry for a good number of years, 10 years or longer. And one day he showed up to my study and came in my study and said he wanted to talk to me. I said, okay, I'm all ears. And one of the things he said to me, he said, I've got to have more. I've got to have more. I said, more than Christ? You need more than the Lord Jesus Christ? I said, if you want more, if you have to have more, you're going to have to go somewhere else. Because all I have is Christ and him crucified. Well, that's not what he wanted to hear. Needless to say, he's no longer here either. But it's sad when someone listens to the message of the gospel for 10 years or longer. And then come to the conclusion, well, Christ is not enough. Well, if he's all you've got, you've got enough. You had everything. If you're looking for something else, you're going to have to go somewhere else, because all I have is Christ and the gospel. And I'm not being narrow. I'm not being hard. I'm just being honest with you. Now look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth confessing with thy mouth Jesus Christ to be Lord. And that's a better rendering of that. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus Christ to be Lord, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth. With the heart man believeth. Now, this is talking about not that old deceitful heart that's desperately wicked, and who can know it. This is talking about believing with that new heart that's given in regenerating grace. When it talks about salvation being a heart work, he's talking about the whole will, mind, affection, all the different things that make up who we really are. And when God gives us a new heart, he gives us a new will, a new motive, new affections, and all these things. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth from the heart Jesus to be Lord and God our Savior, God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation, we know. What does a sinner believe? When he's saved by the grace of God, he believes that his salvation is of the Lord. It's not I did my part, he did his part. Salvation is of the Lord. Because we believe in the heart, given a new heart of God, by God, because we believe in the heart, we confess him with our mouth. We own him, openly and publicly confess the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of glory. We own and believe and confess that Jesus Christ accomplished salvation for us, that God raised him from the dead. Why did God raise him from the dead? He was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again because he justified us by his blood. We own and believe and confess that Jesus Christ accomplished our salvation. He said it is finished, it is done. That God raised him from the dead by the power of God, signifying that his work was accomplished, that his work was accepted of God. His resurrection declares that all he did was accepted of the Father. When he by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The Lord Jesus Christ accomplished all of God's purpose in the saving of his elect. Now look at verse 10. Here is the nature of true saving faith. With the heart, man believeth. With the heart, man believeth. Now, when we see that word heart, it's not talking about this organ in our body. It's talking about in regenerating grace, God giving us a new heart, a new mind, new understanding, new affections that were not there before. He causes us to love things that one time we once hated. For with the heart man believeth unto this righteousness. Now this is the message all the way through the book of Romans, isn't it? Righteousness, righteousness, righteousness. It's not the righteousness which is of the law. It's the righteousness revealed in the gospel, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth we confess what's in our heart. As I've often said, what's in the well of the heart comes out through the bucket of the mouth. And that is so. When God has done that heart work of saving mercy in us, and that's what the faith of God's elect confesses, the true Christ of God, the true way of salvation in Christ, that the Lord Jesus Christ alone is all of our righteousness before God. And this is our confession, that salvation is of the Lord. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, and this is going back, he quotes this twice here, Isaiah 28:16, in Romans 9, and here in Romans 10, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. As Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. When God operates upon our heart in saving mercy, he opens our mouth to praise him. As Paul said, God forbid I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. David put it this way in Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. But of him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that would glory, let him glory only in the Lord. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now that's the last part of Isaiah 28:16. Can we quote the rest of it? Let me see if I can try. God said, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whosoever believeth on him shall not make haste. Will never be forced out. Will never be confounded. Will never be ashamed. That's what the mouth confesses, that salvation is of the Lord. And that's our heart confession publicly before God and before his people.